My daughter's boyfriend, Evan, was in a car accident this past Monday. Many of you have met Evan at Cookie Town. He's helped out. He's a good kid. He was on his way to class. He had an 8 o'clock class down at Johnson County. And he was on 435 westbound right there at the 69 highway exit where it loops you around to go south. And normally he gets off on Quivira. For some reason that morning he decided to get off on 69 South. He was going too fast. It was raining just a little, just enough to make the road wet. As he got onto the loop, he slid sideways and collided with the wall, climbed up over it, flipped over onto the roof of the car, and rolled over a couple times before coming to rest on all four tires. Walked away without a scratch. First police officer on the scene that I talked to said, when I pulled up on this, when I saw the car on the other side of the retaining wall, when I saw how mangled it was, he goes, I thought we were going to have a problem. I thought we were going to have a serious injury or worse. He said, it's a miracle. That kid doesn't have a scratch on him. Evan found his backpack full of his school books 40 feet away from the car. When it was rolling, it got thrown out the window and catapulted 40 feet away. If he hadn't had his seatbelt on that morning, it might have been a much different story. But he was wearing his seatbelt. He walked away from that accident without a scratch. Because seatbelts save lives. That is a fact, and it is indisputable. I remember when I was about 14 years old, the state of Iowa implemented their first seatbelt law. Before then, it was just kind of a recommendation, just kind of a suggestion. Hey, you really ought to wear your seatbelts. What they discovered was that we didn't listen to suggestions very well. Right? I told this story this morning. Wayne Hooker told me. Wayne Hooker used to run the Montgomery Ward store. He remembers when cars didn't come with seatbelts, and the Montgomery Ward store would sell you a seatbelt kit so you could install your own seatbelt. Right? But when I was about 14, the state of Iowa said, you know what? We're just going to make it a law. Got to have your seatbelt on or you'll get a ticket. And I remember that that law was going to go into effect on a Monday because Sunday after church, my father turned to me and said, hey, go out in the station wagon and find the seatbelts. And I had to go out and dig down in the seats, right? Because we hadn't been using them. So I had to go find, and I had to find all of them, right? You can't have five ends. You've got to have six, right? You've got to have, they all have to go together. So I was digging through the seat, pulling out the seatbelts, laying them all out so we could use them. We were told this is safer. They tried to suggest it, and we didn't follow it, so they made a law. Seatbelts save lives, so you need to wear them. That's a fact. It's not a guess. It's not a suggestion. It's a cold, hard fact. Seatbelts save lives. Every year, there's about 21,000 fatal car accidents in the United States. More than half of them, people were not wearing seatbelts. Seatbelts save lives. I knew a guy in high school. We're on the wrestling team together. His name was Rick. When he was a junior in high school, he was involved in a car accident. The car went into a spin. Rick was not wearing his seatbelt. He was ejected from the car into a field. The car proceeded to wrap itself around a telephone pole. Specifically, the driver's seat was crushed. Rick liked to go around, when the seatbelt law came into effect, Rick liked to go around and tell people that seatbelts don't save lives because if he had been wearing his seatbelt, then he would have been killed in that accident. If he'd had his seatbelt on, he would have been in the driver's seat. The point of impact with the telephone pole would have killed him. But that's not true, is it? The seatbelt wouldn't have killed Rick. The telephone pole would have done that. What Rick was an anomaly. He was an outlier. He was an exception. That accident, that one accident, in that one case, yeah, If he'd had the seatbelt on, things might have come out worse. As it was, somebody asked me earlier, they said, was he hurt when he was thrown from the car? I said, no, the fact that he was drunk as a skunk, his body went limp when he landed and he didn't damage anything. I said, so you could really almost say the bottle saved him as much as that not having a seatbelt on did. But Rick would tell us that, you know, using a seatbelt would have killed me, and that was his reason for not wearing one. But that's just not true. He was simply the exception to the rule. When you weigh that against the thousands upon millions of instances where having a seatbelt on saved someone, it's no comparison. Seatbelts save lives. It's a fact. We have a loose relationship with facts these days. We seem to view facts as disputable, as interpretive, as arguable. But facts are just facts. What you do with them is up to you, but that doesn't change whether or not it's a fact. I can choose to ignore facts. Like Rick, Rick brazenly declared seatbelts would have killed him and swore off ever using one again, but that doesn't change the fact that seatbelts save lives. It makes Rick a bit of a moron, but he's free to be that moron, to ignore the facts if he wants, but it doesn't make the fact untrue. Seatbelts save lives, and so does Jesus. Jesus saves lives. That is a fact. It is indisputable. Second Peter this morning, Peter tells us, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus." Peter, one of the original disciples, was on that mountain. He saw Jesus praying. He saw Moses and Elijah appear. He saw Jesus transfigured into a beam of light. He heard the voice from heaven say, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am pleased." It wasn't a made-up story. It wasn't something he had heard from somebody who heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody. It wasn't simply something that showed up on his Facebook feed as clickbait. Peter says, "We were witnesses to the power. We were there with him when this happened. We saw Elijah and Moses. We saw it. And then we told you about it." It's a fact. Not some myth upon which we are trying to build a falsehood. We have a prophetic message, Peter says, more fully confirmed. Confirmed because Peter saw it. He calls it the lamp shining in a dark place. Jesus saves lives. I know this is a fact because Jesus saved me. How many times in my life have I felt lost, incomplete, wounded, scared? And it was Jesus that was my light in the darkness. It was Jesus that reached out and touched me, healed me, completed me, calmed me. I know Jesus saves to be a fact because Jesus saved me. I experienced it. I felt it. I saw it. I saw the change that occurred when I realized that Jesus loved me, that Jesus forgave me for not being perfect, for making so many mistakes. Now, going through life, there are going to be anomalies, outliers, exceptions. We will run into people who tell us, "I don't want Jesus, I don't need Jesus, thank you very much." And we look at them and there's nothing wrong with them. Their lives are not a disaster, they're not insane, they're not falling apart, they seem to be fine without Jesus. But I believe them to be the exception and not the rule. Because in my experience with Jesus, we need Jesus because we are not complete. It's amazing to me the number of times I've been friends with someone or known someone who always seemed to have it all together. I'd be hanging out with them and thinking, man, this person has the Midas touch in life, don't they? Their job is perfect. Their relationship is perfect. Their kids are perfect. Their pets are perfect. Everything about them is perfect. Not a scratch on their car. Have a nice house. Man alive. I wish my life was as good as theirs. And then something happens. Some event, some occurrence, something. Something that allows the facade of a perfect life to fall away. And for just a moment, I catch a peek of what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe it's a tragedy of some kind, a loss in their life, a job loss or loss of a relationship. Maybe a problem of some kind is exposed. Perhaps a relationship falls apart and we get to see for just a moment behind the scenes where things are not as pretty and perfect as they always seemed. We all do that, right? We all have that public facade that we put on when we're around other people. We try to make it look like we have it all together, right? I know what I'm doing. I'm organized. I'm in control. And then we get home and we go, no, I'm not. Not at all. Not even a little bit. Everybody knows that I'm lying, right? Everybody else's life is perfect. I'm the only screw up. I have some dear friends of mine. I've known them since before they were married. Every time I was around them, I thought to myself, man, it was true destiny that these two found each other. They were one of those couples that you met and you realized where each one had a strength, the other one had a weakness, and they just kind of fit together perfectly, right? Like as you were talking to them, in the back of your head, you were saying that thing like, thank God you found each other, because I don't know anybody else to put up with either one of you. So... And I like them. I like these people. I really do. But every time I was around them, he's a little high-strung, right? She was a little eclectic, right? But they seemed to balance each other out just right. And every time we were around them, their relationships just seemed amazing to me. I was like, it is amazing. These two polar opposites found each other, and they are so happy. I mean, seriously, every time I was around them, I was a little bit jealous of their relationship. They filed for divorce last week. In the process of getting to that point, because I'm friends with them, I've been talking with them, and in those conversations, I have been afforded a peek behind the curtain, as it were. And you know what? Their relationship wasn't perfect. It turns out there was some hurt, and there was some pain in there, and there was some incompleteness, and there was some imperfection. And it festered, and it worked itself into problems, and eventually it just became insurmountable. But I wouldn't have known that had they not both shared that with me. Every time I was around them, I thought, man, things are perfect for them. We put on a good show. Don't we? We cover ourselves well. We project wholeness. We project completeness. When often the truth is we feel alone, lost, scared. Oftentimes when we're alone is when our truth self comes out. The one that's been wounded. The one that wanders. The one that looks out at that world full of seemingly together perfect people and realizes, man, I'm the only one that doesn't have it together. I am that person. Jesus saves. And that is a fact because I have seen it, because I have felt it, because I have experienced it. Jesus saves, and I know this to be true because Jesus saved me. Set me free from my imperfections, which are many, by forgiving me. accepting me, loving me. Set me free from my incompleteness by filling in what was missing with grace, with hope, and with peace. Set me free from my inadequacies by being what I needed, a Savior. We are less than most of the time. We fail, we fall short. And yes, the truth is, there are some out there we're going to run into who say, I'm doing fine, I don't need Jesus. But I think they are the exception. Because I need Jesus. Jesus saved me from having to be perfect, which I was never going to be. Jesus saved me from having to have all the answers. Jesus saved me from having to have it all together. I think the rule is that we are all a little broken. We are all a little lost. We are all a little hurt. Evan is okay.